Yesterday we had in excess of about 2,500 guests at New Rotterdam. It was a very good day. There were a lot of preaching opportunities. As I mentioned, the Minister of the Environment showed up with some friends, his family. He was very pleasant, stayed for quite a long time. Just late in the afternoon, early evening, we had this brief storm, no rain, but strong wind, and it blew out the back part of our new tent. Today they're coming to put it up again. Right now, weather really plummeted. Yesterday was about 42 degrees up here on my balcony. Right now it's 22 degrees, so it's half of what it was. It was quite cool sleeping outside last night, but very pleasant. However, this is just the type of weather that Krishna prescribed for a good open day. If it stays like this, that means that if it's overcast, cool, and doesn't rain, many people would be expected to come because it's too cold for splashing around in the Lake Balaton. So people look for other kind of diversions, and what better place to come to than the Hare Krishna's open day. Sunday is generally the biggest day. Let's see how many guests turn up. The new Indian ambassador, Ambassador Ray, will be coming with his mother and some other guests, and we'll show him around. He hasn't actually been here in New Rotterdam yet. And there'll also be a wedding this afternoon that will be Kundavali and Adi Purush. Kundavali's, she's the main person in charge of guiding tourists around. And so she has a lot of acquaintances and friends from the guests who repeatedly come to New Rotterdam, so we're expecting that many, many will come just to see that particular occasion. It's quite interesting how that is by far the most attractive feature of the event. Our huge tent was just packed with people, and many were even standing outside in the sun. Of course, ideally for devotees, marriage means that two devotees are serving Krishna together with the consciousness that the service of two is together is better than the service of two individuals. And devotees who are in the mode of goodness, they see that marriage in Krishna consciousness is a means of purification to free the heart from material attachment gradually by fulfilling material desires for association with members of the opposite sex, for having family in a very controlled and regulated way. Devotees who are in the mode of passion get married, men for sex life, women because they're impelled by the emotional need to repose their motherly propensity in children. And of course that's natural. Both these things are natural, but when they become the dominant cause for marriage as opposed to spiritual purification, one is said to be in the mode of passion. And devotees who don't really know what they're doing or why they're going forward or what they should expect from a married life have no particular plans as to how they'll maintain their family or better themselves spiritually are in the mode of ignorance. Not really something that's conducive for spiritual success. But let's wish all success for devotees who are embarking upon this path and have embarked on this path, and pray that they actually elevate themselves and come to the perfectional platform of full renunciation and purification. and with all of its risks, still the Grihastha ashram is the safest ashram to be in. This was the version generally of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. And of course we encourage real brahmacharis to remain brahmachari, or if qualified, take sannyas. But that should be done with mature deliberation and a real purity of heart. And speaking about purity of heart, I'm going to conclude this discussion on the demons within by talking about Agasura and Lord Brahma's theft of the cowherd boys today. And then I'll just read the rest of the other 20 demons who Krishna and Lord Balaram kill. And you can see these also on the website listed there. I leave it to all of you to meditate and understand what are the anarthas that these pastimes represent, and do the needful in terms of your sadhana to help become free from the debilitating effects of these anarthas. Agasura was a enormous, horrific snake demon with a body 8 miles long, which is like almost inconceivable. But it's true, and the remnants of that snake are considered to be there in Vrindavan. His tail ending at Keshigat, and the beginning of his body almost halfway towards Govardhan. And Agasura, like snakes, are impelled by envy, the representative of cruelty and violence. Here are innocent children taking care of their calves, playing and dancing, and with his mouth open, he just invites the playful children to enter, and then the idea is that he'll just eat them and swallow them alive. Cruelty, violence are byproducts of the motive passion, and particularly ignorance. Unfortunate to say that sometimes we see that devotees are even physically violent to each other. Not being able to resolve differences in any other way, sometimes devotees resort to behavior that even non-devotees don't do, hitting others. And Lord Kapila Dev describes that devotional service performed in the mode of ignorance tends out to bring the worst out of Vaishnavas, and it actually makes them cruel. In other words, they have a inclination to do harm to others, physical harm by beating, emotional harm, mental, nowadays we use the word abuse. So if you just replace that word representing cruelty with abuse, then that abuse more or less represents Agasura, the abusive mentality whereby one unnecessarily causes harm to others. And certainly for Vaishnavas, such type of behavior is not only unbecoming but unnecessary, because the mood of inspiration by which people are elevated and inspired to step forward is the way in which sattvic Vaishnavas or transcendental Vaishnavas operate. That is certainly the way Srila Prabhupada worked. In Kali Yuga, abuse is something that is really prevalent. It's prevalent within the family, it's prevalent in society, in education, places of education, places of work. Women complain about sexual abuse or verbal abuse or other types of abuse by their employers or other fellow employees. The same goes on in schools and colleges. And ultimately, there's things such as drug abuse, alcohol abuse. In other words, when people abuse themselves. Krishna speaks about this in the Bhagavad Gita, that a person commits violence to his own self. In other words, those activities that are unhealthy, that are detrimental to spiritual life, that cause pain and suffering to the body, even though they may go under the guise of austerities, excessively severe austerities for some completely tamasic purpose. This is all in the line of abuse. So to become free from that abusive mentality, we should pray to Krishna that just as he entered into the mouth of Agasura and then from there expanded himself, choked the creature and killed him, that Krishna also destroys the abusive mentality that may be lurking within our hearts and coming out at the most unsuspected of times. And Lord Brahma, who's not a demon, Lord Brahma is a exalted personality, the head of the Brahma Vaishnava Sampradaya, but still overwhelmed by his exalted position, his great intelligence, and his ability to do such a thing as create an entire universe, he questioned how it could be that this little boy, who appeared to be nothing else than a talkative cowherd, that he could be the same Supreme Lord Narayan who empowered him before creation, who gave him transcendental knowledge and revealed to him the spiritual world. So when we're also bewildered by our own deeds, by our material prowess, by our intelligence, we tend to perform activities that are not only contradictory to the principles of pure devotional service, but that challenge Krishna's supremacy. And when Lord Brahma stole the cowherd boys to see, well, let's see if this cowherd boy can really do something that will challenge my mystic power, that will reclaim these cowherd boys, he committed an offense, he committed an aparad to Krishna. So intoxication due to one's physical ability, due to one's intelligence, due to some particular skill that we have, is the Brahma Vimohana Leela, which Srila Prabhupada had said was one of the most difficult of Srimad Bhagavatam's pastimes to translate and present, particularly the important prayers that Lord Brahma sings to Lord Krishna. So let's pray also that Krishna free us from these, as far as well as from the following other 12 demons and the anartas which they represent. I'm going to read them. And systematically, we as devotees should try to search out whether traces of these things are present within the heart. There's Dainakasura, the Astiman, who represents materialistic intelligence, which is the same as the ignorance of spiritual knowledge. There's Kaliya, who represents brutality and treachery. The two forest fires that Krishna swallows represents intercommunal discord amongst Vaishnavas. That's a really interesting one, how Vaishnavas tend to party spirit, separate, split, fight over theological, philosophical things, and even lesser things than that. And then Pralambasura, who disguised himself as a calf, represents lusty inclinations and desire for gain and prestige. The yogic Brahmins' performance of sacrifices, they're not demons, but they represent callousness towards Krishna by pride in one's position in the Varnashram system. In other words, when one thinks more about the varnas and ashramas than the principle of samsiddhi haritoshanam, pleasing Krishna. Then Krishna's humbling of King Indra represents demigod worship and the tendency to think I'm supreme. Varuna's abduction of Nanda Maharaj, the mentality that spiritual life can be enhanced by intoxication, very interesting. Killing the snake that attempted to swallow Nanda Maharaj represents the rescue of the truth of eternal Krishna consciousness, which was swallowed by impersonalists. Shankachuda, the conch shell demon, represents desire for name, fame, and sensuous enjoyment on the plea of devotion. Aristasura, the bull demon, which was followed by the wonderful pastime of creating Shamakund and Radhakund, represents the pride that arises from indulging in false religions invented by cheaters, the result of which is neglect of bhakti. Keshi, the horse demon, represents the feeling that I am a great devotee and spiritual master. And Vyomasura, the sky demon, represents associating with thieves and other rascals and with people who put themselves forward as avatars. In summary, Thakura Bhaktivinoda advises devotees that they should not only hear and contemplate these occasional pastimes, but also carefully discuss them amongst themselves. Of those of you who are listening, grihasthas can discuss amongst themselves at home, along with their children. Devotees can discuss themselves in the brahmachari, brahmachari ashram. It's a wonderful opportunity for Krishna Katha. And furthermore, before chanting Hare Krishna or engaging in the worship of the holy name, devotees should pray to Krishna for the power to overcome the defects represented by the demons killed by Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, by doing this, the heart becomes purified.